I'm very happy to be here again, and I'm at Davenport Road Whitney Methodist Church. They have a wonderful worship band. It's a real spirit of worship here, so I feel very at home and very happy to share. And a welcome to those friends who are on Zoom as well, and friends who will listen to this message later on from our website, Westcote Methodist Church. I've been given this theme then of meeting Jesus, with a subtitle this week from the scripture that has not been read, and that's another story, but it's about being included. Now, I will be very honest with you, for this theme I would not have used the scripture in Matthew chapter 15 about the faith of the Canaanite woman, because there Jesus does seem to take a very unusual approach, seems very hesitant because she's a Gentile, and he says things like, you know, I've been sent to the lost sheep of Israel. I would have perhaps turned with this theme of being included to the story of the Samaritan woman, again a Gentile, who Jesus met at the well of Sychar, and to whom he immediately offered the living water of the Holy Spirit. Or to the Roman centurion, again a Gentile, who came to Jesus and asked for healing for his paralyzed servant. The servant was healed before the centurion got home. Jesus uses similar words to him that he eventually uses to this woman in Matthew 15, the Canaanite woman. Truly, I've not found such faith in Israel. One thinks of the great parables, of course, the Good Samaritan, the prodigal son, and these are just a few. They all take me back to one of my favorite scripture verses, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I think that's as inclusive as you can find. But it is conditional at the same time. Whoever believes in him, Rosemary mentioned in prayer, that those who turn to him, believe in him, repent of their sins. There was once a homeless, friendless city boy who had got into bad company. He was used by wicked men, a band of thieves and robbers. He was staking out a big house for a planned robbery. The owner of the house saw him, asked him what he was doing, and told him to go home. The boy replied that he had no home. The man felt sorry for him and offered to procure him a home and a bed for the night. But he would need a password, which for that night was John 3:16. The lad had to learn it by heart because he couldn't read. He got to the house, rang the bell, and said to the porter, I'm John 3:16. All right, was the reply, come in. He had a wonderful night's sleep and a good breakfast. He went out on the streets in something of a dream, and perhaps because of that, sadly, he was knocked over by a cart and taken to the nearest hospital. He was asked if he was a Protestant or a Roman Catholic. He didn't know, he hadn't got a clue about that. He knew only that he was John 3:16. Throughout that night, in a fever, he kept crying out his new name. And several souls in that ward reached for their Bibles. They were probably Gideon Bibles. Reached for their Bibles and read those life-giving words that we've just read and were blessed. In the morning, when he was somewhat better, someone read the words for him. And his life was completely changed as he accepted Jesus as his own personal saviour. John 3:16. But back to our scripture and our theme of meeting Jesus. This Canaanite woman met Jesus in person. Since lockdown, we have talked a lot about meeting in person, in contrast to meeting on Zoom, as we do Sunday evenings, and as some are on with us today. Perhaps other forms of media as well. We know Jesus went back to glory after his death and resurrection, so we can't meet him physically, but there is a sense in which we can meet him in person by his Holy Spirit, who came into the world at Pentecost and has been here ever since. I had the privilege of speaking at the carol service on Christmas Eve at our parish church in Westcote. It was quite full, and mostly with people who don't normally or regularly attend church. And I spoke about how we could make this Christmas very special by meeting Jesus. and went on to describe different ways that we might be able to do just that. I'll just share one of those ways with you this morning. I believe it has been well said that we can meet the living word in the written word. I've just read a book entitled City Lives, true stories of high flyers in business, sport, or the entertainment industry. People have come to real faith in Jesus Christ who have truly met with Jesus. One story stood out for me. Yvonne had everything going for her. PA to a director, a big businessman, married to a wealthy man, two children, but perhaps because of their lifestyle, she had become an alcoholic. And it got so bad that her husband, in desperation, sent her to the Priory. And that's a private psychiatric clinic in West London where you hear of celebrities going from time to time. Yvonne soon got bored and looked for something to read. She was hoping to find Cosmopolitan or Vogue. I've no idea what those things are, but in fact, she could only find a Gideon Bible. So out of sheer boredom, she opened it and lighted on the Gospels, where she read a story in Luke chapter 7 of a woman described as a sinner. She'd gate-crashed a party where Jesus was a guest. The host, Simon, was not amused, but that encounter with Jesus completely transformed the woman's life. She was rescued from her former lifestyle and became a follower of Jesus. You will know the story. Yvonne didn't, but she was completely broken down. She saw her own need. She repented and welcomed the Lord Jesus into her life. She met with Jesus. She met the living word in the written word, the Holy Scriptures, and her life was turned around. She never touched alcohol again. We underestimate the power, the life-changing power of the Word of God. And I give thanks for the work of the Gideons. I have several friends in that organisation, and I was able to acquire recently, free of charge, 20 copies of the New Testament and the Psalms for the Christian Union at the Cotswold School at Bourton-on-the-Water. The Bible, of course, in our country can be read freely, anytime, anywhere. It is not so in many countries, where if you're found in possession of a Bible, you may be thrown into prison or even murdered. Godless authorities are scared of the Bible. We read the Bible every time we meet for worship, as we have today, and woe betide any preacher, it seems to me, whose words are not centered around it and around Jesus. I read a lovely little story recently in a book written by an old friend, Reverend Godfrey Nicholson. Rosemary and Tony have met him on Zoom, and Jackie has as well. And you'll probably, those of you listening on Zoom, if you've listened to my podcast, you've probably heard this story before. But the risk of repetition, friends here have not heard it. A little girl returning from Sunday school told her mother that she had a new teacher. On her mother's inquiry, who was she? Her reply was, "I don't know, but I think she must have been Jesus's grandma because she spoke so much about him." I thought that was lovely. And a contrast to Hazel and I were listening. We sometimes listen to TBN UK, which is a Christian channel, 65 on Freeview. And there is some good stuff on there. But we listened to an American preacher 2 or 3 weeks ago. He was one of these big mega churches. He spoke for about half an hour, and he only mentioned the name of Jesus once. And I thought it was a shame. There's nothing wrong with what he said. He was talking about words and the power of words, but he seemed to me to get a bit off the track. Now, sometimes all of us preachers do that. I can remember I always get my wife to vet my talks, because they go on. The script is attached to our bulletin, our weekly bulletin, as some of you will know, some of you get it. So it's actually read. Now, I don't always stick to the text, and I'm not doing now, but that has to be read. So my wife tells me the grammar has to be right, and the spelling has to be right, and I can't spell for love nor money. My excuse is that I learnt Spanish a few years ago. And they spell much more like it sounds, you know. And so that's my excuse. But anyway, My wife Hazel always reads through it. And one week, it's quite a while ago now, I was talking about church, really, and church growth and things like that. And she said to me, you know, you don't say much about Jesus in this talk. So, you know, that pulled me back a bit. That really did. I mean, I think of myself as a keen evangelical preacher, and there I was preaching, and I wasn't speaking really centered around Jesus. So there we are. We all go off a bit trapped sometimes. I remember a few years ago, we were at a United service in our parish church along the road at Westcote. Sitting in the back was a little girl who was with her grandmother. That was Mary Sanders. She got up on the pew and looked to the front of the church. She said in a stage whisper, "Is Jesus here today?" And I never forget that. I was just along the pew, you know. I was reminded of William Cooper's lovely old hymn, where Jesus, where'er thy people meet, there they behold thy mercy seat. Where'er they seek thee, thou art found, and every place is hallowed ground. So if we want people to meet Jesus, we can encourage them to read the scriptures. We can give them booklets and daily Bible readings to help them to do that. At Westcote, we give out Word for Today. We can invite them to come with us to church, but do we? I'm just rereading a book by Michael Harvey, who I heard speak at Chipping Norton Methodist Church. Our old superintendent, Sober, invited him. He comes from up north somewhere. He was the guy that was behind the Back to Church Sunday. Do you remember that? It's perhaps faded out a bit now, but for a few years we had Back to Church Sunday. We used to gear it up for our harvest service. And anyway, I'm rereading this because Michael is coming to the North Cotswold Gospel Partnership, which I'm involved in, and doing a morning at St. David's Morton in Marsh about inviting. That's his big thing, inviting. Are we a welcoming church? But more, are we an inviting church? And it does really make you think. And he's doing that because we're hoping to have a mission with Roger Carswell in the autumn, in October. I can give you the dates, not now, because I haven't got them in front of me. But this is a kind of a preparation to get us into the thinking, the mindset of inviting people along to the mission. But we should do that anyway, to invite people along to our churches. We actually have a bit of a problem sometimes at Westcote Chapel, because occasionally it's not big enough. And then you think to yourself, you know, can I invite some more people if they've got a job to get in? We had an occasion, Jackie knows very well, a few weeks ago where we had a family come in a bit late and actually had to split them up, which was a shame because it was the first time they'd been, at least for a very long time. Anyway, they came again, so hopefully it obviously didn't upset them. And I've asked our stewards to think and pray about the problem. How much then do we invite people to join us in church in the hope and in the prayer that they will meet with Jesus? Reverend Ian Worrell and I think some of the others are doing a circuit mission audit. And there's some very interesting questions on that. One was, what would you do if a young family turned up in your church? Now, for here, you've got no problem. You're already organised for it. You're up for it. You don't have a problem. It wouldn't be so easy for us, again, because of space. Like a good many other churches in our circuit, some of which I've been around to, it's some while since we were blessed with young families worshipping regularly with us. We did used to have a family service once a month, and on the other weeks, the children, and we had six or seven, would be taken down to our house for their Sunday school lessons. We're just two doors away from the chapel. But we haven't had young children for some time, and we would struggle, perhaps, to provide what they need. Another question on the audit was, what would you do if a homeless person turned up? And I found that question even more difficult and admitted that I didn't quite know, as I'd never faced that problem before. Brings us back to the question of how we could make such a person feel included. I reread a book by Jeff Lucas. I don't know whether any of you are familiar with his ministry, but he's got several books out. This one is entitled The Prodigal Friendly Church. I couldn't actually find the story I was looking for. I think it's there somewhere, but it was from memory. It was about a young chap who came into the church for the first time, went and sat at the front on the floor. He was not very well dressed. and no doubt it caused something of a stir. You can imagine. One of the well-dressed senior elders got up from his seat and walked towards the young man, and many were afraid he was going to tell him off, telling him it wasn't appropriate to sit on the floor at the front of the church. However, what he did, he just went and with some difficulty sat down beside him on the floor. I'm wondering, actually, if he was like me. He got up with even more difficulty, but there we are. The great thing, he was making the young lad feel included. Story I did find went like this. A friend leading a church in Wales described how they set up a project to help young women with teenage pregnancies, drug and alcohol abuse. They were invited to a special service for Mothering Sunday. That's coming up fairly soon, by the way. The girls were nervous but wanted to come. They asked if there was a side door they could use. The project manager asked why they wanted a side door. The reply was, "We'll come, but we're not the sort of people you want marching through the front door. We'd feel a lot happier if we could slip in unnoticed through a side door." Jeff Lucas's comment was, "The church is called to welcome absolutely everyone, no side door, period. Welcome is not an option, but it's the absolute bottom line for any congregation that wishes to describe itself as a church. Accepting people, however, does not necessarily mean endorsing their way of life. Meeting Jesus means change. It means change for us all. But we must accept and welcome people, knowing that bringing them to Jesus will involve him making the changes in their lives that are needed." These matters are very challenging and very practical. I think of friends in a church who befriended a man who, shall we say, was somewhat eccentric. He had his own home. He wasn't homeless, but he never threw anything away. You maybe know people like that. I understand the house was cluttered with all sorts of things, even newspapers and magazines and things, floor to ceiling. He was also not too bothered with personal hygiene, so no one wanted to sit too near him, and he didn't know why. Part of the befriending and welcoming of that man and making him feel wanted meant addressing some of those issues, and I think they've met with a good measure of success. I don't suppose the prodigal son smelled too good. He'd been looking after pigs. And they can have a pretty strong smell, I know, because we used to keep pigs. And you kind of get used to it, but, you know, other people would notice it straight away. The father didn't care, did he? He ran and he put his arms around him and he covered him with kisses. I'm nearly through. I just want to make one more point. This Canaanite woman was not asking for herself, but for her daughter, who was suffering terribly from demon possession. Now, I know that some today would describe her symptoms in different ways, be that as it may, but I believe we need to cry out to the Lord today for our young people, our children and our grandchildren. They are beset by awful temptations and choices, some of which I believe can only be promoted by evil powers. I think of pornography, available readily on the internet. I understand at the click of a few buttons, terribly degrading. I think of drugs and alcohol. And I think of the breakup of so many marriages, which is more and more common even in the church and amongst Christian couples. I know several. It's the children who suffer. I know because I've seen it firsthand. People say children are very resilient, are they? You don't see the deep hurt inside. And now we have all the confusion about gender and sexuality, and one wonders where all of this is going to lead, and one trembles for our children. We can only, like this woman, cry out for mercy and ask for the Lord's healing. Like her, we might have to wait for the proving of our faith, but our nation and Western Europe and North America are in desperate need of meeting Jesus. And we know that, as we've said, John 3:16, we only have to turn to him in repentance and in faith, and he will receive us. Thank you for listening. Let us pray. So, Heavenly Father, for those of us who have had the joy of meeting Jesus, we thank you. You have given us the gift of faith. It's by your Holy Spirit. You have helped us to come to a knowledge of our own sin and in repentance feel the need for him. And we pray for our friends and our loved ones, our families, our neighbours and our communities. Lord, in your grace, you would meet people in their need and that we would even live to see a turning back to you, even in these difficult times. We ask it all in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.